Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Now, Joan, as we start the programme for this week, I think you and all our visitors, and certainly I, would like to be able to extend a very happy birthday to Pope Benedict, and of course next Thursday as well. It's the second anniversary of his election. So we've got a double lot of congratulations to send to the Holy Father this week.
Indeed, we do. He will be 80 on the 16th of April, and it's really amazing. I've had a lot of people who asked me his age in the last year, and he's 79. He will be 80, and they'd say he was a young looking 80. We have been for many years to seeing white hair. But I also think another element comes into play saying that Benedict seems like a young 80. And that was the fact that for so many years, John Paul was ill. He walked slower. He talked slower, and then he was unable to talk at all. He was finally constrained to being in a movable wheeling chair, if you will. So to see a pope who stands erect, who talks well, who walks well, also does give him the appearance of being younger, just by what we were used to for the last 4 or 5 years of his life.
And on Easter Sunday morning, I was watching the ceremony with my community, and we were saying that for somebody who'd just been through all the Holy Week liturgies, and he'd been presiding at them all, he looked amazingly fit and alert. He didn't look tired. We were exhausted, but he didn't look tired.
Well, you know, it could be one of those things, too, that if he's very much like, in one respect, like John Paul got he was recharged. His batteries were recharged, if you want to phrase it that way, simply by being with people. And, of course, the younger they were, when he was with young people, I mean, there was like no stopping him. But I think that Benedict, he seems to get that same recharging of his batteries by being with people, but by liturgy. That is what is so important to him. And if you look at his grueling schedule, he should have been exhausted, because two Masses on Holy Thursday, two liturgical events on Good Friday. The second one, of course, was the very moving, very wonderful Way of the Cross at the Colosseum, which is like an hour and three-quarter event for him. And it's many, many hours for people who have to get there early to be able to see the Holy Father. So two events on Friday. Saturday, naturally, you had the vigil, the rite of Christian initiation for six adults and baptism of two children. That Mass, heaven knows what hour it got over. I was watching the end of it on television, or part of it, and it was like 12:30 at night. And then Sunday morning, there he was, fresh and out in the square and having that Mass. Now, thank the Lord, the calm after the storm, if you want to say the storm being all the events of Holy Week and the Triduum, the Pope did go to Casa Gandolfo on Sunday afternoon. The residents,
he would deserve it.
Absolutely deserve it. I think a lot of us kind of wanted to join him lakeside in a very beautiful, relaxing.
Casa Gandolfo is beautiful.
It's an amazingly beautiful place. So peaceful, so calm. You really can be with yourself.
And the view over the lake is wonderful.
It is. And from the Apostolic Palace, or any one of the little towns, for our listeners who might not be familiar with, there's an area outside of Rome. It's a whole bunch of little towns located on hills and in and around this Lake Albano, which, of course, was created a crater of an ancient volcano.
And is so deep that the water is almost black.
It is. It's very, very beautiful. It's very calm, too, because you don't have huge waves coming in like you would on an ocean or something. So it's a very beautiful spot, but the whole area is called, by the Romans, the Castelli Romani. And it does mean castles, because actually each one of these hill towns had as a dominant point many, many years ago a castle owned by some noble family. And there's a wonderful, interesting history to Castel Gandolfo and the Gandolfi family. And so someday we'll tell that story, too. And well, actually, I think we have told it on our summer breaks. So the Pope's out there, and he came in for the Wednesday audience. Then he will stay in Casa Gandolfo till about 6 p.m. on Saturday. He comes back and then will preside at his own birthday mass on Sunday. And then there's a concert in the Vatican on Monday, his actual birthday. So, and I'm just assuming that his brother Georg will be down from Germany for these events too. And Georg, I believe, is 4 years older than the Holy Father. And he did have a sister. He had only one sister. She did die in 1991. So I think a very wonderful, bittersweet in some ways, day for the Holy Father birthday. And then, like you said, the second anniversary. Is it possible? The second anniversary of his election. And, you know, I was telling you before we went on the air that Good Friday I was on the Vatican's website to research the meditations for the Way of the Cross, this year's meditations. And I went back to reread Pope Benedict's, but then Cardinal Ratzinger's meditations. And it was astonishing. They're very, very beautiful, the meditations for the Way of the Cross. And any of our listeners who want to go back to the website and look them up, you can. And if you want to have an idea of what this pontificate would be about, because he'd become pope 25 days after he pronounced those meditations at the Way of the Cross. Or, excuse me, after they were pronounced, but he wrote them. So it's an amazing look at his pontificate, what concerns the man, what he sees as problems for the world, for mankind, for the church. A very revealing look. They're beautiful meditations, as were the ones the following year by Archbishop Comastri, the Archpriest of the Vatican Basilica. So,
but looking forward to the anniversary of his election, and also looking back to the evening that he was elected. Of course, Vatican Radio is the official announcer of the election. And when we heard that the smoke was seen coming from the Sistine Chapel, because it was so early in the day, we knew it had to have meant that there was a candidate who had been chosen. But we couldn't work out whether the smoke was grey, black or white. So in Vatican Radio there was absolute panic, with people running up and down corridors, watching television, calling people in the square, trying to find out what colour the smoke was. And people were from radio stations, television stations throughout the world, were phoning and asking us. We were having to say, well, at this moment we don't know, because we were waiting for the bells to start chiming. But there was actually a quarter of an hour delay.
A huge pause, sure.
And that quarter of an hour delay, I think, was probably one of the longest gaps in the history of Vatican
Radio. And this was the
radio.
First time that they had said that the announcement of an election would be confirmed by bells. Bells have been there in the past, and it's been rejoicing and so forth and so on. But the announcement was actually made that the bells would confirm this. So, like yourself, I was in the square, because at the Vatican Information Service, we had our televisions on, smoke came out, we didn't know or care what color we wanted to be in the square. So we go in the square, and like you said, 50,000 people or whatever are standing there. Okay, what color is it? And finally, when it was a prolonged white, there was great rejoicing. But then we waited for the bells. And the bells didn't come. I don't think we know to this day why. I'm just imagining, first of all, the people inside the Sistine Chapel have to give indication to the people outside, you know what, we've got an election. They don't have cell phones. They couldn't communicate. I guess they just had a knock on the door. And the door would have to be opened. Then you communicate to a bell ringer that we have a pope, habemus papam, and then you take it from there.
But also one of the most amazing things, when it was realized the smoke was white, and when the bells eventually started ringing, people came from all the way across Rome. And because the English program's windows overlooked the Via della Conciliazione,
right,
it was amazing to see, because people were actually abandoning their cars in the middle of the road, even with the doors open, and running to the square to be
there.
It was
something you actually had to see. Our television would have had to be in your window to cover. It was this river of human beings running, like you said. Just running as if the end of the world was, you know, or the continuing of the world was dependent on their arriving in St. Peter's Square.
All the car horns, buses, their horns as well, were just going again and again. And then the police whistle started joining in. Instead of being used to direct traffic, they were just being used because they were noisy.
Sure.
And the bridge that leads up to the Via della Conciliazione, the Ponte Vittorio Emanuele, it was one solid mass of people.
Yeah.
Even a bicycle couldn't have got past. It was just completely immovable. These thousands and thousands of people making their way up to the square. And even when it was all over and I got on the bus home, it was very late that night before Vatican Radio was able to even think of closing up for the day. One of the things that struck me as I got off the bus was you had a group of youngsters there, and they were just like young people all over the world, but they were walking along the road talking about the Pope, and it was just so beautiful.
It was, I think, great joy simply because of the huge, immense, indescribable sorrow that accompanied the death of John Paul II. And as we know, the 4 million people coming to Rome, the entire world watching events on television for close to a month. So there was the joy of continuity of magisterium and so forth. So it was a day for great rejoicing, and that's what everybody will do next Thursday, of course, and it's a Vatican holiday.
Mm.
You get a day off, and I urge listeners to tune in and see what's happening next week. We will be here next week, but not on Thursday, and we will talk about what the world has done for the Pope's 80th birthday, what his native Germany, has done for his birthday, and we'll probably review in a brief manner the pontificate of the last 2 years.
Yes, so we're closing off with many congratulations and best wishes and prayers.
And prayers.
Holy Father.
Heartfelt prayers, indeed.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.